Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
So this is Heart for Harvest Sunday. We do this once a month where we just want to talk a little bit about who we are, what we do, some of our priorities. And also, we like to celebrate people. I think it's important knowing that we're a family that celebrates together. We don't just mourn together. We don't just weep together. We don't just rally around the wounded and the hurting. We actually celebrate our wins. You know, it is so nice when we get a victory, we want to celebrate. How many of you were here for Baptism Sunday? Come on, that was Heart for Harvest Sunday. And it was fun because we got to celebrate what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. And it's fun seeing all the baptized people showing up and here. And amen. Hallelujah. And what's really fun is because we're in relationship, you get to see God walk every single person into new levels of maturity in Christ. Amen. And that to me is just so, so exciting. One of our teams that we're going to celebrate today is our Connect Serve team. Now, our Connect Serve team is the largest team here at Harvest. It's the most amount of people that serve on the Connect Serve team. And we call it a serve team because really, you know, this is leadership is serving. We are called to serve one another in love. And this is an opportunity for people to open doors, park cars, help people get stuff from outside in the house, make sure that you've got coffee, somebody say amen. Make sure that you've got everything that you need on a Sunday. And they want to make sure that this place is free of all distractions so that you can connect with God. Right? So the connection is more than just connecting with people. It's creating an environment where you are free to connect with God. So I'm going to invite up our Connect Serve team leader who's going to share a little bit about what God's doing on the Connect team. Tim Gronick, give him a hand. Come on up, Tim.
Kevin, you already got me crying this morning. Here it goes again. Man, I'm so blessed to be your leader for this team. It was October when I stepped into this position, and man, there's been so much going on since then. So many wonderful things that God's brought for us. Some leadership training, some new ways of direction for not just this team, but for the church. I can't even read my notes. God's vision is so much bigger for this church than we can even imagine. That's one of the things that he brought to me as we started making a few of these little changes that we've done. Number one, it's no longer a hospitality team. We're now the Connect team. We're building that relationship as you walk in the door. We're connecting with you to meet your needs. That's a big one. That's a big one here. We're family. We're not just somebody that walks into a building. We are the church. Amen. God's brought us together. That's that song, You Deserve It All, the highest praise. It just, you know, I was coming into church this morning and one of the old hymns, all I have needed, thy hands hath provided. And it's like, boy, is that more prevalent than anything right now. You know, We're stepping out of this small church mindset. We are going to be so big, North Idaho's not going to know what to do. You know, we're looking at some of the old things that Walt Disney did when he built Disneyland. Is that we want to be the friendliest place in North Idaho. So when I say to you, when I see you in the morning, I'm so glad you're here today, that comes from the heart. We are glad you're here today. Whether you come every Sunday, whether you come on Wednesday, doesn't matter, but we're glad you're here. This is all a part of us. You know, if you step in the door for the first time, we're glad you're here. This is home. You can feel safe here, and that's the biggest thing that we want you to feel is safe. You know, we're here to build relationships and to connect. And this team stood behind me so much with all these changes. Sunday when someone was sick, called in sick, and I'm jumping through hoops trying to get the coffee made so that we have the coffee out here, and somebody walks up, can I do that? It's like, man, they've got my back. They've got my back. I am so blessed. I'm so blessed to be in this position. God's brought me here for a reason, and I just want to make sure that I do everything he has for me to do here. If you're on my service team or teams, would you stand up for a minute for me? Please and thank you. This is only a small part. I know there's quite a few that are missing today, but I just want to take this public time and thank each of you. Thank you so much for having my back. Thank you for so much for so willingly serving. God loves you, and so do I. And there's nothing you can do about it. I love that. There's not a thing you can do about it because we love you so much. And I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here to support me. I'm glad you're here to serve this church. I'm glad you're here to help this growth happen. And it's going to be so big. It's going to be so big. Simple things that you've seen changes. We've got a few more coming, but we got a team that now meets you out in the parking lot. And we'll have these wonderful vests on so you can see us. I have more vests coming so that those that are serving that Sunday are going to be so recognizable. And it's like, oh, there's someone in that vest. If you need something, come see us. That's what we're here to do. Guys, sit down. Thank you so much. But we are here to serve you, to serve this church, to grow this church as God sees it. And I just thank you for the opportunity to lead. And thank you for being able to have input in leadership in this church and how God sees it go. Just ask for your prayers for all of us that we continue with that mindset as what does God have us to do and how do we do it?
Thank you. Come on, give him a hand. Great job, Tim. I want to... just touch base real quick on the Celebrate Recovery Nicaragua team that is going down to Nicaragua in April. Will the three of you guys stand up, please? These three men are heading to Nicaragua to wreck Verbo Church with the Holy Spirit. And they're actually really hungry about signs, miracles, wonders, all that kind of stuff to see God do healing and the gifts of the Spirit operate. How many of you know God heals today? We've seen it too much. There's too many testimonies to tell. But I checked in with John, and you guys have just blown them out of the water with your generosity. And so we just wanted to say thank you. It seems like, if I understood you properly, that the tickets are paid for. Guys, you guys got their tickets paid for. So can we just give God praise for that? Amen. We still ask that you continue to sow into their trip and then always sow into Celebrate Recovery Nicaragua. But I just wanted to give a thank you and a praise and an update on that. So thank you, gentlemen. And we bless you as you go on your merry way down to Nicaragua. Okay. It's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. All right. So with that, I want to talk really quickly about Some of the changes that we've been going through in on our core team and with staff have been around where are we going in this next season. You heard some language from Tim about small church-mindedness. And what's interesting about that is some people love the safety and connection that when you've got 50 people or less in a room, it feels comfortable, it feels safe. It's really difficult to maintain that feeling when you grow. So what happens is that when it gets to a certain point, people will automatically default to behaviors that keep the church small. Didn't know if you, like, they default to behaviors that keep the church small. And so what that might look like is if it feels too big, maybe I'll only come once a month instead of every week. right? So that's one thing. You know, a couple others might be, I'm going to kind of flake out on serving, or I'm not going to be faithful or consistent with what I said I'm going to do. We see little things spring up because it creates discomfort. How many of you realize that discomfort is a blessing from the Lord? Discomfort is a blessing from the Lord, because where else do you meet the comforter? Like, you don't get a relationship with the Holy Spirit without some discomfort, because he's actually called the comforter, okay? So just know that as we make changes, you might feel uncomfortable. One thing that makes people uncomfortable is when I say I don't want anybody sitting in the last two rows. I want everybody in the first up above that, so that when we have visitors that walk in the door, they always have a comfortable place to stay. So if people are sitting on the ends of the first two rows, or the first back rows, if people just, they don't feel like they can go past them, they don't know where to sit, they don't know, like, so we just keep it really comfortable for newcomers, people who are guests here for the first time. We want those back couple rows open, right? So what makes me comfortable is I like to sit in the back. What makes me uncomfortable is I'm on the third row or the first row, right? Somebody say, I need the Holy Spirit. All right. So the reason why we're doing some of these just little things is not to manipulate anybody. We're not interested in that. We are interested in making sure that if people are called to connect here, there are no obstacles in their way. Do you hear me? We want no obstacles in their way. The Lord is what? Come on, activator in the house, Pamela. You guys are awesome. That was too funny. Oh, you're the sweetest. I know, Pamela. So one of the pieces, oh, Jim. Come on, let's celebrate activation, right? Come on, amen, hallelujah. So one of the things that, like, there'll be certain aspects of our culture and environment that will feel a little more formal. There will be certain aspects that feel a little looser, like I don't know what's happening there. Can you please communicate any concerns that you have and trust that we're actually intentionally doing what we're doing? Okay, so what we're doing is intentional. Okay, so all the changes that Tim's made are very intentional. And it's stuff that he's felt the passionate about, and he's leading his team. These are not demands from on high. Okay, that's Tim leading his team, right? For what he believes is going to be some of the most efficient and best ways, so that when the second somebody drives in the lot, they know that they're loved, they're seen, and they're welcomed. Amen? Okay. So one of the things that we did do, though, as a leadership team and staff, is we had to look at our vision statements and our mission statements. So the first thing we look at is our vision. And the vision says, where are we going? Like, big picture, who are we supposed to be? Right? When we look at Harvest Valley Worship Center and you look at it from the picture of how would what we do be expressed clearly, what we do be expressed clearly to the people around us, and we've simplified it down. We are here to reveal the love and power of God. Our vision is really simple: to reveal the love and power of God. Now, one of the fruits of when you do that is what we call revival. When God's love and his power, we see that this is how the New Testament church operated. And I reject every teaching that says that the New Testament church was not built on signs, wonders, and miracles. There's a lot of teaching out there that says that it was only by the preaching of the word. It didn't have anything to do with the miracles. And yet, story after story after story is that they preached and the miracles happened. In fact, in Romans 15, Paul says, I know that I have fully preached the gospel from Illyricum to Jerusalem because of the signs and wonders that followed my ministry. He knew that the gospel was preached because there was power with it. So what does that mean for us? It means that we have to love in a Jesus manner. We have to have compassion in a Jesus manner. We have to have patience in a Jesus way. We have to have those fruit of the Spirit fully on display, and we also have to operate in power. So when there is a need, I'm not your solution, but I know who is. I'm not the solution. I know who the provider is. I know who the answer is. Let's pray. And you call on the God of heaven and you see the power of God revealed. When somebody needs a healing and you call on the God of heaven to release healing into their life, they receive it and they know that God is real. So we are here to reveal the love and the power of God. The next question that we have to ask is how? How do we do that? And that is the mission. The mission keeps us, kind of gives us boundaries on how are we going to fulfill this vision? How are we going to become a place that reveals the love and the power of God? And we have known for a long time that we must be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation, right? This has been a critical piece. There has been a critical piece missing in that. It's been our heart, and yet we had not clearly given everything the definition that it needed. So as we began this process of relooking at our mission and how are we going to get to where we want to go, we decided, kind of went through a process and just kind of reduced it down as small as possible. Like, what are the main things that you could say Harvest Valley is all about, and this is what we do, and this is how we do it, okay? And we came up with landed on three simple words: heal, equip, and transform. These are the three things that we know, everything that we do and how we do it. How do we reveal the love and power of God? Well, healing, emotional, mental, physical, whatever it is, we are a place for healing, right? We also know that we are here to equip people to become carriers of the gospel. We're to equip you to be amazing fathers and mothers. We're to equip you to be followers of Jesus who are completely sold out with no hesitation, with nothing holding you back, fully fulfilling the will of God for your life. We know that. And that's been a piece that was missing, the equipping part. So we would talk about healing and transformation, but this, we didn't define that centerpiece, right? The central piece of what we do is equipping. Okay, so in the language, it wasn't quite there. And so as we went through this process, and we know transform, that we're called not just to be personally, internally transformed, but we're to transform the world around us. Amen? Amen. Yes. So we're just going to keep the language very much the same. We're just going to add a piece. We're a refuge for healing, center for equipping, launch pad for transformation. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is how we do. Now, what this does, the mission gives us boundaries. If what we're doing as a community isn't in the vein of being a refuge or a center or a launch pad, then we're doing the wrong thing. Okay, then we're off base somewhere. Okay, does this make sense? Okay, so I wanted to give those to you, and I wanted to make sure that you fully understood those. And the next thing I want to talk about, real quick, since it's kind of a Heart for Harvest, kind of a family day, any questions about that? Are you guys all seeing that this is who we are? Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? What'd you say, all in? Did you read in my notes? Next thing is our all-in journey. Come on. Some people just got their radio tuned in right. Okay. Harvest Valley, we're introducing our all-in journey. Now, this is going to replace First Step and Next Step. This is a four-week small group that we had a growth track, and the growth track First Step was just basics of the Christian faith. Reading your Bible, prayer, evangelism, fellowship, understanding the details of that. So that was the First Step, and how to share your testimony. That was all part of First Step. Next Step, okay, Next Step was about Harvest Valley. This is our vision, our goals. This is what God has put in our hearts. This is what we're pursuing. And so we've decided to combine those two four-week small groups into one four-week small group. We will still continue to have, for those people that feel like they're called to take on a leadership role at Harvest Valley, we'll still continue to have a small group called Leader Step. Okay, this is a leadership development part of this growth track that we have. If you want to lead here, there's a lot more to understand and know about the interworkings of how things go, how we handle conflict, the things that are really required for those who want to be leaders here. That's going to continue to happen. But for right now, we're going to focus on this all-in journey. And this this all-in journey, like I said, it's one four-week course. We're going to hold that probably at two different times in the next 3 months. We're going to do one. Likely, we will have one available in lieu of, we'll continue to have our Wednesday night life group going, but we will take, for those of you that are coming on Wednesdays, we'll probably take 4 weeks to do this, because that way, we're not having everybody out of the service on a Sunday. And then what we're going to do is we're actually going to take the whole service. You'll have a host. Each week, you'll have a host that will come in, and they will say, hey, welcome to Harvest. And today, we're doing our all-in journey, week one, grow. And we're going to go meet, and you'll go meet in the littles during worship. You'll have time to fellowship, and you'll actually take the whole service to go through this, through week one. Okay, and then to go through that, and then so you'll have 4 weeks during the Sunday morning service that you'll be in a different room. Now you can do this split up. If you're not there for week two next time around, just show up for week two, right? You don't have to go through all four linear. You know, you could go through each one separately. They all kind of stand on their own. And so we'll explain a lot more about the how-tos and the whens over the next month or so when we get that all fully dialed in on the schedule. But what this does is it guides you to discover your redemptive purpose and live the life God created for you. All in is made up of four steps that equip you to follow Jesus, connect to the church and people, discover your purpose, and serve others. So I'll just give you quick summaries for each week. Week one is grow. You'll learn how to grow as you devote yourself to learning and maturing for a lifetime. The decision to grow for a lifetime will help you always move forward in life. Amen? Yeah, we never arrive. You will never settle for less than all that God has for you. Stagnation and the status quo will not be a part of your life. Okay, so that's week one is grow. Week two is connect. You'll connect to a new spiritual family with whom you can build healthy, lasting relationships. This means you're deciding to become part of the Harvest Valley Church family. In order for you to be connected with the family, it's necessary to develop close, intimate friendships with those around you. Week three is discover. You'll find greater purpose as you discover your life in Christ, who God created you to be, and the gifts and passions that make you unique. Discover is about finding how you best fit on the serve team and which part of the team will be enhanced because you are a part of it. So we actually do a DISC profile, okay, so that you have a real clear understanding of personality type. And then we also do a full spiritual gifts assessment this week, which is pretty cool. And that way, you really know well, here's where it helps us know where are you going to be positioned best. If you hate looking at people in the eye, you should not be on the door. If you're super outgoing and you need people contact all the time, you should not be in the bathroom by yourself cleaning toilets.
You should have somebody with you.
Yes, that will likes to talk as well. Yes. So not another quiet person who's like, oh my gosh, they won't stop. That's not good. So, but it really helps us position everybody the right way as you learn and develop your gifts and your skills as you're growing in Christ. Week four is serve. You'll find greater fulfillment as you serve others and partner in building His church by living life beyond yourself and making a difference. This decision means you are going from an observer to becoming a contributor, learning how to use your gifts, talents, time, and your finances in a godly manner. So that's the all-in journey. You'll be hearing a lot more about that. I did want to introduce it to the church today. I will talk about it again next month with clear times, dates, so that you know and when you're going to be doing that. And I'm super excited for it because I feel like crunching 8 weeks into 4 weeks is going to be really helpful for a lot of people. We're going to have time set aside during the service instead of after service, which is where we used to do it. And of course, you know, as the sun comes out, it becomes a little bit harder to sacrifice that sun, you know. So I know some people, that's a real difficulty, especially if you work Monday through Friday and you got limited time to do all the stuff on your property and everything else. It's just a cultural thing, and we no problem. So we'll do it during the service. So with that, is that all making sense? All right. I wanted to read real quickly. I wanted to read two passages of scripture, and then I'm going to introduce Kevin, who's going to be bringing the word today. Are you guys ready for that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to use Quinn's Bible because it's right here, because I forgot mine. Isaiah 58. Verses 10 through 12. I'm going to read this from the NIV, which is not our normal, but it's what Quinn has, I think. It's NIV. Yep. All right. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of broken walls and the restorer of streets with dwellings. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And that's really a passage that is just over Harvest Valley. That's been a driver for me since the day I got saved. And it's what we have used to develop and build our ministry on is Isaiah 58, 10 and 12. It's a core tenet of who we are in our identity. The next one that I want to read is Ephesians 4. Verse 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's another core passage for Harvest, for what we are about. And so if you will stand and pray with me real quick over this new vision and mission and what God's going to be doing with the All In journey and all of that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for Harvest Valley Worship Center. We thank you for the leaders here. We thank you, God, for all of the amazing things that you are pouring out in this place. We thank you, God, that you have been moving hearts and minds closer to you. I thank you that what this place is called to be is bigger than what we can see. I pray, God, that we would not live small-minded, that we would not think small, that we would not limit you to what you can do based on my comfort. And Father, I pray that as we get uncomfortable, God, you would be our comforter. I pray that you would show up with power and might. Father, as we extend our souls to the hungry and we satisfy the afflicted soul, we are asking, God, that your light would shine into darkness and the darkness would be as the noonday. We thank you, God, that you will satisfy our souls in drought. You will be the river of living water who never fails us. We thank you, God, that we can extend our our souls, we can be a people who give ourselves to the work of ministry to see this region know the name of Jesus in his love and his power. And God, I pray that as we pursue this end, that we would honestly and truthfully in our hearts be a place where people are safe to heal, where they can come in all of their brokenness without judgment, without any apparent religious spirit here, God, that we would be okay with their brokenness. We would be okay with whatever they're dealing with, knowing that, God, you are the healer. God, we are a refuge for you to heal, a refuge for you to move, God. And I pray that every person that comes in, they would be equipped to step into the power and the authority and the might and the call and the destiny that you have for them. God, that this would be a center for equipping. And God, I'm praying that as people are built, as they are built up in the Spirit, God, that they would get launched, that they would open up their mouth, that they would declare, God, this is what the Lord has spoke to me. This is the thing that I'm called to do. And that there would be a family surrounding, supporting, and helping every step of the way as ministries get launched, as people's lives get changed, because you've set your body on a course with destiny to change the world around us. And God, because of this, we are beyond grateful. We're so grateful for what you're doing here. We're grateful for what you're breathing life into in this place. And we are so thankful, God, for what you're doing. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Will you guys welcome Kevin to the platform?
Geez, I don't even know what to do now. I mean, we were praying this morning, standing up here. Everything that we prayed in our circle before the service was exactly what I was going to say. I said, you know, maybe you guys should just do the service. I'll just watch. All the songs kind of dealt with the same thing. Chris comes up and I'm like, well, I've got some notes here. I'll see if I use them or not. I do have a quick little one-minute thing. It's not a song. It's more of a video. But it's kind of deals with synergy. You got it? It's just a really quick little thing that I saw when I was surfing the net when I should have been doing something else.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I was screaming loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight.
I'm about ready to lose it. That's what this body needs to be. That you pull your power from everybody else when you don't have it. These are thoughts and things that God's given me over the last couple weeks. When Chris was preaching, and I didn't think it, if I mentioned to him, I didn't think he'd like it if I stood up during his. Well, he was preaching and told you guys what I thought, but he said maybe I could do it after he preaches when he does, but I don't need to stand up in the middle of his. And this happened. You can hear Chris. He doesn't sound sick right now. It seems like he's feeling pretty good, but he was feeling under the weather on Thursday and Friday, and so we set up this to do this. I said, yeah, I've got a little something I can put together. I really felt like I needed, I don't know why, but I felt like I needed to do this before we left for Nicaragua. Now, these are just thoughts and things that Chris has probably gone over, you've probably heard, but I think they're things that are important that we need to hear and get really into our mind. These are thoughts. I'll have a little testimony, maybe a little disciplining, a little humor, probably a lot of emotion. hopefully some encouragement. And it won't be long. I know we've got food that's waiting, so it'll be short.
Hallelujah!
I feel like I'm at an awards ceremony. I'm standing up here, and I'm thanking the Academy, but really I'm thanking God from all the people that He's put around me. All the little people in my life that have got me where I'm at. You know, I think of just like Chris and Anna Lee, and I hate to name names because there's so many. Everybody's touched who I am now and brought me to where I'm at. But that's part of synergy. That's part of a body that works together. And I don't think you understand how big that is. It's like I was saying when we were praying the other day, there's a move of God that's going right now, and everybody knows about it. Everybody can feel it. But in order to catch a move, you have to be moving. When you're out and you're trying to surf, you can sit out on a board and let the waves go under you all day long. But unless you get ready and make a motion towards the wave and catch the wave, you're never going to move with it. It's like kinetic energy. So then when you get all of us moving the same way at the same time, how powerful is that? You can't stop it then. You keep moving with it. And then it gradually pulls others along with it. And you can absorb them into what you have and take them along with you. We are one body. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, well, if you go 12 through 8, it's 12 through 18. I'm only going to read 12, though. It says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts, that together for one body, form one body, so too is Christ. So we're forming His whole body. We are His hands and feet and everything. And people think, well, I don't know what. Think about your body. Maybe you're the big toe. But do you realize how important the big toe is? The big toe is what gives you balance. So you can run and so you can walk. I'm thinking we need a lot of big toes around here. We need to be balanced. We need to be ready. There's a part for everybody to play. Every single person. Don't think it's too small or too little. Or too big. Or too big. I never thought I'd be standing here 20 years ago when I accepted Jesus into my life. Thought I'd be in front of people preaching. But He showed me over and over how many times that I'm supposed to be in front. Did I understand it to begin with? No. I thought maybe I was supposed to be a comedian or a singer, but we know those aren't going to work out. So you hear my wife laughing the loudest. Well, I can tell you what you get when I'm up here. You get something that comes right from here. And I'm preaching to you what He's already preached to me. And He's preaching it to me. I'm thinking, okay, maybe somebody else has the same problem or the same thing that needs help. So you're going to get what He gives to me. You're probably going to get it with a little emotion because it's coming from right here. And that's what it is. Now for a little discipline that he did with me is, I've been struggling a little bit. And he said, as clear as day, get over yourself. It isn't always all about you. And I'm like, okay. Thanks for slapping me in the face. But it is a problem when you focus completely on yourself, is what he was saying. He's not saying he doesn't love me and he doesn't care for me. He's saying get over yourself. Quit looking at the problem. Start looking at me. Get over yourself. Because yourself isn't the thing that's going to fix it. Matter of fact, it's probably going to make it worse. And the other thing is that when you start doing it and you start praying, don't get your mindset on the way you think it's got to come out. Because that's self again. Amen. That is self saying, oh, wow, but he didn't do it the way I thought he should. Well, I have never had him do it the way I thought he should. Has it come out right? Oh, it's always come out right. Just not the way I thought it was going to. And in that, we need to keep seeking him. Amen. Matthew 7:7 is one of my favorite verses. Ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you will discover. Knock and the door will be open. But you need to put that on repeat. That's not a one-time thing. You need to keep asking. You keep seeking. You have to keep knocking. Continually. Otherwise, you settle where you're at. If you don't keep seeking and keep searching, you're not learning. You're not moving forward. You're staying in one spot. And I guarantee you, the more you seek him, the more you'll find. The more you knock, the more doors will be opened. Will they be the doors that you're thinking they should be? And we get back to the self thing. What doors do you think are supposed to open? What gifts do you think he's going to give you? He'll let you know what it is.
That's right.
In the time and the place that you need it.
That's right.
And he'll surround you with the people that'll help you develop it.
Yep.
And actually, they'll probably push you.
Yep.
And they'll demand stuff out of you. And the other thing is that when you do it and step into it, it's now a responsibility that you have it.
That's right.
So don't let the fear of what you don't know and the fact that you don't want to be responsible for it stop you from stepping into it. Really? I mean, he's saying, oh, you're going to be prophetic. And you're like, that means I have to like say words to people? And I have to hear what you say first and then give it to them? And I can't put any of what I think in with it? He says you're going to go up and you're going to preach in front of people. And you're like, Fortunately, I don't have a problem with that, but there's a lot of people that do that are in here that should probably be up speaking just because of the knowledge and the passion that he's already given them. Maybe he's saying you need to go out and pray for the guy on the corner. And you're like, oh man, that means I have to go talk to him.
Yeah.
I have to actually go see what's wrong and pray for him.
Amen.
Sometimes it's easier to be stagnant than it is to go do what you're supposed to do. I only got, you know, half an hour, but I'm going to hit you as hard as I can. Don't settle. I can't get over that. Don't settle. Don't doubt what God can do with you. Don't put a limit on him because you're afraid to do it. Don't put a limit on him because you don't want to step into it. Because he's limitless. He'll take you where he wants you. Sometimes kicking and screaming. He'll put it in front of you. You still have to accept it and do it, but he's going to keep opening doors until he's got you where he wants you. Don't disqualify yourself. My past is so bad. This is so bad. I've done this. You just heard him talking about Micah doing communion, how he clears everything.
Yep.
But I can tell you, if you wait until you're perfect to do what he wants you to do, it's never going to happen. You don't have to be perfect. Matter of fact, none of us will ever be perfect. But I can guarantee you that I am way different than I was 20 years ago. Still more. Hey, that was really fun back then. Still even more better than 10 years ago. And still better than it was yesterday. Is there times that I fall back and that I don't move forward? Oh, I'm sure there is. I know there is. But I'm always trying to move and catch what he's doing. Yeah. You're thinking, well, I'm not qualified. And, you know, how bad I'm thinking. Go into Acts 9 and read the story about Paul, the road to Damascus. Tell me that you've done anything as bad as what he did. And then look and see how he used him. I mean, read that, really. That leads to another verse that I really like, is Acts 4:13. And it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men," because back then you had to be picked to be trained. You had to be picked to be the ones that were schooled. And they weren't. "They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." So they started to recognize that being with Jesus can change you. So why aren't we with Jesus? I hope we all are. There was a thing I read too, talking about the presence, which we were saying about and everything. And I can't remember who it was that wrote it. I don't think it was Violet. I can't remember. I won't even guess. But it says the ease of being in his presence is as easy as being with a friend in a room. The only difference is Jesus never leaves. The friend does. He is with you continually if you want to draw on his presence. As easy as it is to talk to a friend in the room, you can talk to him. And believe me, his ears are usually burning when I'm around, because I'm talking his ear off most of the day. Because I know he's there. Do I feel the tinglies and everything every day, all the time, all day long? No. But I still know he's there. And I still feel him. We've been talking to Anna Lee and Paul with losing things, and Chris with his keys. And I've just been praying, you know, show him where that's at. Show him where that's at. Chris found his keys he'd looked in the same place several times, and there they were. He found them. I do it with tools all the time. Anna Lee found her keys.
Shoes I've worn twice since I lost my keys.
Exactly. Paul, he told Paul where some tools were that we hadn't known, where he couldn't find them, couldn't think it. I'm underneath the house this week pulling insulation out that had, the house had flooded, so I'm under there pulling all this insulation out, and I had a pair of wire cutters to cut they had chicken wire, and they're holding the wire up. And it's probably at least 20 by 50 under there, and it's that soft, silty dirt that everything just sinks in. And I hadn't even gone over to this one section of the underneath there yet, and I'd been doing all this stuff, and I get down there, and I'd had the little side cutters in my pocket. And I get over there under that side where I need them, and I'm like, oh, I could really use those right now. And I look down, and they're right there. I hadn't been on that side of the house. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Not only can he help you find things, he can help you fix things. When I'm working on my vehicles, I'm like, hey, Lord, show me what I'm missing. What am I missing? What wire isn't connected? What? And actually, on my pickup, the batteries went dead, and I couldn't figure it out. Well, other than that, my wife noticed the light was turned on inside of it, but that's another story. But when I was checking the batteries and figuring things out, both of the negative cables that hook to ground it were both loose. I don't know why he led me to that, but he knew that I needed to tighten both of those to get it to work. So don't ever doubt what he can do and how he can do it and what he can show you. Chris had stood up here a couple weeks ago and talked about, and he stood right here and he said, it must have said it 6 or 7 times, we have the mind of Christ in us. Yeah. Over and over and over and over again he said it. Now, when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you get the mind of Christ. You've got it. But the only problem is you still have that other mind that was already in there. And I don't totally, I mean, double-minded, to me, never, it used to be hard to figure, I didn't understand exactly what that was. And I get it. I mean, we have the mind of Christ in there, but we have the mind of flesh in there too. And we can go either way. And sometimes the battle is real. Real. That's why it says to renew your mind. You're not renewing your fleshly mind. You're renewing your mind to Christ. To come back to him. I know you probably already know this, but I think it's something we really need to get in there. That we have his mind. That's what we should be working off. Not off of ours. Because it usually gets us in trouble and takes us places we don't need to be. And I can tell you when trouble comes, the easiest thing to do is to slip back into the old ways. Because you know what it is. Is it comfortable? Is it good? Is it? Probably not. But you know what it is. And you know how to deal with it. So you go, I'll just go back over here where I was before. And I'll be just fine. Problem is, you aren't. So remember that. I don't know how I could. He said it 6 times. I should say it 100 times. You have the mind of Christ. He's in there. You've got it. Use it. I'd already talked about changing over the years, but you have to look back to see what he's done for you. If you get to a point where you're feeling like you're not seeing him, you're not hearing him, think about what he's already done. And if you can't think of things that you've already done, look at people with their testimony and see what he's done for them, because he'll do more than he's done for them to you. Way more. That's why testimony is so important. It's because you show other people what he's done in you, and it gives them the hope that he can do it in them and do it more in them. You know, it says to reveal the love and power of God is what Chris was just talking about. And I think that's awesome that we added the word power on the end. Mika had come up with that. But it's because I know he loves me all the time. But still, there's times I'm like, God, you got to show me. You got to show me. Show me something. I just need you to show me something. Hello? Oh, sorry. So not only do we have to realize that we have the mind of Christ, we also have the power of Christ. He says we'll do greater things than he did with the power through us. Sometimes that's hard to realize. There was a pastor we went to Brazil. He was talked about him before. William Wood is his name. He's down there with Global Awakening. With Randy Clark, and his testimony. Look up who William Wood is. Listen to his testimony; will blow you out of the water. God met him in a motel room, in a hospital room where he was dying. Literally, his whole body was shutting down. And he came out of that without anything wrong with him, completely. I mean, he'd been doing drugs. They found him on the side of the road. Someone took him to the hospital. I mean, it's amazing. If you hear his testimony, it's amazing. But he had a little thing that he just put on with Sid Roth. And they were talking about, he said he was at 3 o'clock every morning, he would be woken up by demons in his bedroom for a year. Now, this is a guy, man of God that goes down and preaches about healing. I mean, he's an amazing guy, an amazing preacher, an amazing minister, has an amazing testimony, and he would physically see the demons at 3 o'clock every morning. And he'd done all these things, praying and doing all to trying to get rid of it. And finally, God said, you need to get a chair, put it at the end of the bed when they show up. And then I want you to turn your back to him and worship me. Because you need to take the attention off of them and put it on me. So he said that they would show up as a cloud, dark cloud, and it's different things, and it came in there, and it was there, and it was bothering me. He turned around and just started worshiping God. And as he turned back around, he said it was like a little cowering kid sitting in the chair, because they can't handle the power of God that we have in us. And the worship that we can put out of God totally destroys any demons that are around and sends them running. And once he did that, he hasn't had a problem since. But he also knows how, if they come back, he can do it again. Let's see what else I got here. He was also telling me, you know, so we keep asking to hear more, clearer, louder. And he says, I do a still small voice because I want you to stop and listen and take time with me. I could yell at you all day long, but I'm not going to do that. I want you to take the time to spend it with me and listen for my voice. Now, there's things that are going on here, like Bible reading, that I think I have to admit really quickly that I get behind, and then I have to try and catch up, and I have to apologize, because Wednesday nights are amazing, and I haven't made it for about 3 weeks. But that's something that puts everybody on the same page, in the same word, and everybody can discuss it. If you miss it, don't worry about it. If you miss a day, catch up, you know, start on the next day. There's three different spots. I mean, there's a snack, a meal, and a feast. The snack takes about 5 minutes. And then you have to think about it. And usually if you put it in there, then you're thinking about it most of the day. But, and the other one is the Tuesday morning prayer. And Alex, I have to say, I'm sorry, dude. I told you I'd be there. I was there the first couple times. I'm going to make it back. But that's another one that's powerful. Now, I've been struggling because my wife has been struggling. This is the testimony part. And I came in here one morning, and I laid down here for about 2 hours praying to God. And Chris, like the amazing man he is, wants to talk about it. And I said, no, I don't need to talk about it. I want to take this directly to the Lord, and I want an answer from him. If it comes through you, that's fine. But I'm not going to tell you the question. Right? And then Micah starts to go down, and it's not doing good. And you know how hard it is to see the light go out of somebody's eyes? Someone that you're with, that you absolutely adore, and you see the light go out of their eyes because they're going down. And you can pray and pray and pray, but there's nothing physically that you can do. So in that, the question I had for God, I'll tell you what it is now. I said, God, show me that what I'm doing makes any difference anywhere. Show me that me coming up here and preaching does anything. Show me that the work I've done in this church, because I've poured my life into here for 6 years, doing everything that's needed to be done. Show me that that means anything. And one of the things he did right away was, he goes, remember those two mission trips you went on that you didn't have to pay a cent for? He goes, look at what I've already done. And then we're doing another one, and I've got money from people that don't come here, that aren't, I sent out to my family and to friends, but a few other people that we've done work for that with John and Paul and I, people that don't come here, that we've done work for, that see enough in me to donate money for me to go on this trip again. So there's something that he's got in me that's showing through that people can see. He goes, let me show you what you do. And then I get a message from Tim yesterday morning, or maybe it was the day before, telling me how much he appreciates what I do and what I am here. If somebody does that, if somebody speaks into your life, Chris, anybody, Annalie, let them know what they did. Let them know what it means to you. Tell them that you love them for what they're doing and what they've given to you. So I'm telling you all right now, thank you for everything you've done in my life. It means a lot when you know. I mean, granted, they say when you get to heaven, you'll know all the lives you touch. Well, I want to know now. I want to know that what I say and what I do makes a difference. Now, most of the time, it goes and it's not, you know, bad. But when you're getting struggling and you're going, is it really worth it? That's when you need someone in a family to come alongside you and say, yes, it's worth it. And what you do makes a difference. I can happily say that my wife is doing way better now, and that I am too. But one of the things that I have to tell you too is how many people have contacted her from here is amazing. And how many people that didn't contact her that came through me to ask how she's doing and tell me that they're not only praying for her, but they're praying for me too because they know what I'm going through. That's synergy. That's family. That's what we need. Okay, so I told you it would be too long. I'm about half an hour here. So there's just four things I think you really need to grab onto. One of them is to think of what he's done for you. Because you'll do more than what he's already done. So think of what he's done for you. Two, don't disqualify yourself. We're good at making ourselves look bad or that we can't do something or he can't use us. He can use all of us. Matter of fact, he needs all of us. He could do it himself, but that's not how it works. He does it through us. Three, we have the mind of Christ. Keep remembering that. We have the mind of Christ. When you're renewing it to his mind, not yours. And four, we need to catch this wave together as one body. So if we can just have you stand, we'll do a little activation. I want you just in your mind, just focus on something that he's done for you in the past for a minute, just to get things moving. Okay, now, I want to imagine yourself out in the ocean, waiting to catch a wave. But I don't want you to just be waiting for the wave. I want you to envision yourself paddling, holding up a sail, whatever you have to do to catch that wave. So that you're ready when that comes up behind you, that you can take His energy, His power to move you forward. Now, if you've got that, now imagine all of us hand in hand all the way down that wave, catching it at the same time and all moving forward at the same time in unison, in one accord, riding His wave, His power, His strength, in His grace, His patience, His love, as we move forward in what He is leading us to do. The difference with His wave is it doesn't crash on the beach. It keeps going. And as long as we work together, we'll just keep going with the wave. Father, I just thank You for this. I thank You for these amazing people that are here. I thank You for everything You've done in my life and in their lives. And I look forward to more testimonies and more things coming forward with everything that we do together as one body. I thank You for leading us together in one accord as we catch Your move, Your wave, and we move forward with it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's just one other thing I want to say quick is this mission trip, it really has. The money that's coming in is amazing. But I can tell you, if I had a choice of people to go with, these two would be on the top of the list. I mean, it's going to be amazing. We'll come back with testimony that you won't believe just because of, and I'm going to prophesy right now that this won't be the only trip the three of us will make it together. We'll do many trips together, doing the same thing. We just ask for your prayers in all of this as we go through it. Not only for just when we're down there, pray for us on the trip. We meet people, we got layovers in some airports that are long. I just pray that you help, pray to Him that He guides us to people that we can touch while we're in the airports, on the trip, on the way, on the airplane, on the way back, while we're there. That we just do what He wants us to do. I just thank You for coming. Thank You for smiling as I preach and for listening very intently, actually. I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.